lot we could say about that. If you have any questions about Ecuador or CSI in general, see me after service. I'll try to address those and answer them. And just more than anything else, pray for the people of Ecuador. It's devastating. Again, it's off the news. It's off of people's radar. They still don't have a home. There's what happens like in earthquakes, the dust from all the concrete that just got crushed. The air is just full of the dust. A lot of people have respiratory problems now, and we were dealing with that, the medics. It's just skin infections and stuff. The water is dirtier than it was before this. Pipes have burst, and it's not just you lost a house, but infrastructure is destroyed. And so they need your help. They need your prayers. Pray for the people of Ecuador. Please do that, and remember your brothers and sisters there and people that that need the Lord. Everyone that we treated at the clinic, we would ask if we could pray for them, and most of them said yes. A couple said they preferred not to, but that's okay, and we would pray with them because we understand the limited thing that we're doing, there's something even greater and more powerful, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want to turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 43. I want to read a few verses of scripture. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Well known, everyone, most everyone is familiar with this story on some level or another. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touches me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Verse 48, and he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I want to speak for just a little while this morning. Simply this, a girl named Faith. God bless you. You can be seated. I realize we are in a quote unquote missions weekend. And yesterday was fantastic, just the fellowship. I enjoy that. I love that, the fellowship with God's people. More than just, and sometimes you just do what you do, flying in, preaching, and flying back out. Getting to spend time with God's people and just the church people is always great. We love it, and of course the food helps. The food helps. And I don't know where the sister is that said she was going to make me a cake. Okay, so you could leave now, and be ready. Just kidding. Just kidding. Food and fellowship, there's nothing more spiritual and great than that. Hallelujah. Looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All us apostolics are. This is a story that it's a feel-good story on some level because, you know, regardless of where we are, politically, socially, economically, whether we root for this team or that team or, you know, all those things really are, those are superficial. And those shouldn't take priority. The priority in our lives should be that we're all humans. We're human beings. We're people. We have needs. And we need one another. We understand that. We need the help of one another. And we depend on one another. And nobody likes to see other people suffer. Unless your team beats their team, then you're okay. Sports suffering is different. Sports hate is different. You can hate the other team, but that's just sports hate. And that's okay. But real hate is not good. Some people get kind of caught up in that, and it's like, put the brakes on. It's not a life or death situation. But the truth is that we really don't like to see people suffer. It's and I know that many of you, if not all of you, were moved by the video that you just saw. Those are people's homes. That's where they lived. And they're living under tarps now. They're living out, just out, and nothing. They're on the side of the road with just out. They don't have anything. There's nothing covering them. They don't have anywhere to go. They don't have the infrastructure that we have. There's no place that they can say, look, we're going to get you and evacuate you to here. That doesn't exist. And that moves us, that we realize we're blessed. We understand that we're blessed of the Lord. We understand that God has done some great things for us. And we understand that we live in a country that's blessed. Amen. And when we see people suffering, it moves us. It touches us. And we want to do what we can. I know our country's not perfect. I've traveled around. I get that. I understand all of that. But I also understand that we are the most giving nation on the face of the earth. When something happens somewhere, America responds. We give. We go. I've been to disasters all around the world. I was in Nepal last year, I think it was last year, for the earthquakes. I've been in Haiti several times. Been in the Philippines a couple years ago. And the plane is full of people from the United States going to help. Medics, paramedics, EMT people, firemen, rescue people, church people, just we want to go, we want to do something, we want to help, we want to rebuild. And we give millions and millions and billions of dollars to help others. We don't want to see people suffer. It's not in our nature to enjoy someone else suffering. That's because it's part of it is just our culture, but part of it is just human nature. We don't want to see other people suffering. If we can change that and help it, then we will do it. So we rejoice with this lady that received her healing. After 12 long years, after 12 years, and you know, I'm not going to say she was wealthy, but she had to have some money because she spent, for 12 years, she spent doctor bills. And there was no Affordable Care Act. There was no Aetna or United Health or Blue Cross, Blue Shield. None of that existed in her day. She spent her money for 12 years on doctors trying to see if someone could help her. Let's try this or let's try that or let's go here or let's go there. Now, there's something interesting about the Bible that she's an anonymous woman. The Bible doesn't tell us her age. It doesn't tell us her name. It doesn't tell us where she's from. It doesn't tell us her fam. It doesn't tell us anything. But it does tell us her condition. We know that she had an issue of blood. She had a discharge of blood. According to the Bible, this made her unclean. She had to be separated from other people. If she touched any ceramic dish, it had to be broken and thrown away. If she used wooden utensils, they had to be washed and separated. If she touched somebody else, they had to go into a time of separation. It had to affect her family life. It had to affect her social life. She had no social life. Of course, in this day and age, you could be a social media guru and have no social life. Because from the comfort of your bedroom, you can be a social king or queen. But you really don't have a social life. But she didn't live in that day. She lived in the day where it's about contact and face-to-face and discussion and talking. And she couldn't do that because she couldn't come into contact with other people. But this woman, what I admire about her, one of the things, let me say, that I admire about her is her condition did not stop her. Her situation did not deter her. I don't know what you've brought to the Lord today. I don't know how you come to Jesus. I don't know what situation you find yourself in. I don't know what condition that you are coming today. But I'm going to tell you right now, it should never stop you from getting what you need from Jesus Christ. Your condition or your circumstance should not deter you from what Jesus has for you today. She came to the point where she realized, what can they do to me?
Can they kick me out of society? They've already done that. Can they shun me? They've already done that. Can I be an outcast? I already am. Can I be ignored by people? I already am. Can they say that I'm not worth anything? They already do. She came to the place where she said, all I have left is faith. I don't have a social standing to help me. And let me tell you, I hope you understand this. Your social standing means nothing to Jesus. Oh, I have this. It doesn't mean anything to God. But Lord, I've been pretty good. It's filthy rags to Jesus. But I'm not like them. It's filthy rags. It means nothing to God. Oh, but I haven't sinned like they have. Unless you have Jesus Christ, our righteousness is as filthy rags. What we bring and present to him is worthless. Oh, but Lord, I'm this, I'm that. All that doesn't matter to God. What he's looking for is a hungry person. He's not looking for the person that says like the, I'm so glad that I'm not like them. I'm so glad that I'm, no. He's looking for that person that beats their chest, that cries out, God, I don't even care about my condition, but I know that I need you. I know that I can't make it without you. I know that I'm desperate. She came to the place and the realization, all I have is faith, but faith is enough. And faith can do more than my money. And faith can do more than my position. And faith can do more than my education. Oh, the doctors don't have the answer. I'm not against doctors. I'm okay. That's no problem. But they don't have the answer. But there's one that can heal where they say it can't be done. I've seen people with crutches, and we prayed for them, and they threw the crutches away, and their legs were strengthened, and they began to dance and worship God. We didn't take them to physical therapy. We didn't take them to get injections. We laid hands in Jesus' name. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen cancer healed, blind eyes open, AIDS healed. Faith will do more than any education you can ever obtain. Faith will do more than your wealth and your riches and your house and your car and your possessions and your belongings. Faith goes beyond my ability and my inability. Faith reaches past my disabilities. Faith goes beyond my strength or my weakness. This woman was in a condition. I don't have anything else. There's nothing left to me. But there's Jesus. Sometimes the thing we think is the last resort is the best resort. And it's a shame that sometimes we have to get to the last resort when we could have gone there to begin with. She comes to Jesus, you know the story. She pushes through the crowd, not because she was rude, not because that was just her personality, but there's my answer. It's my last hope. I've spent everything on the doctors. I'm broke. I have no other recourse. I'm an outcast of society. No one will talk to me. I can't be around my family. I'm shunned. I'm unclean. I'm cursed. I'm going to go for broke. I'm just going to go for what I can right now. And I'm pushing through people, and they're just going to have to deal with it. They can go. I deal with unclean every day. They're just going to have to deal with it. I'm pushing through the crowd. And she didn't come up and say, hey, Jesus. Hey, it's me. I need you. The Bible says she came up behind. She came up, and I'm not even asking, Lord. I don't even need an audience with you. I'm not even wanting to talk to you, Lord. I don't even want you to take time out to deal with me. I'm just going to come from behind. I just need to touch the hem of the garment, because I believe that if I just touch the garment, I can be healed. I don't need a big to-do. I don't need a big ceremony. You know the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She came to the Lord, and the disciples said, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. What spiritual guys those were. And Jesus ignores her. And Jesus says, Lord, just my daughter is vexed. Jesus said, I can't take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs. She says, I don't even want your bread. I don't need a face-to-face. I don't need all the big situation here. Just let the crumbs. All I need is a crumb. I'm not asking for the loaf. I'm not asking you to put some good butter on it and serve it to me hot. Just let the crumbs fall. All I need is a crumb. You see, she approached Jesus and she said, oh, thou son of David. She was a Gentile, but she was trying to use the Jewish phrase. That's why it didn't work. She was trying to use something and she thought, oh, if I sound like it, Jesus doesn't care what we sound like. He doesn't care if we do the pretty big, long prayers. But they came to a place where she said, help me. That was from the heart. Not all the thou son of David. Oh, no. He didn't care about those titles because he didn't come to just the Jewish people. He was the Savior of the world. I realize he came to Israel and they rejected him. I understand that. But his goal was never just to reach Israel. The purpose of the Savior was never just for one people. And when their heart welled up and said, help me. I've got a little girl back home. Oh, I'll take the crumbs. I'll take what drops and falls. I don't even want all the other stuff. A crumb will do. And the woman with the issue of blood just came and said, let me touch the hem of the garment. And the Bible says immediately it was stanched. And she was healed. And Jesus perceived. And no, there's a bunch of stuff you could preach here. I'm not going to preach it. We don't have time for that. But Jesus stops. He's sensitive. Who touched me? Again, the disciples, these spiritual guys. Everybody's touching you. This is a crowd. Come on. No, you guys need to spend a little more time with you. Somebody touched me. They didn't physically touch me, but they touched me because virtue, they connected with me is what he was. Who connected with me? Not just who's around. Who connected with me? Because when you connect, there's an outflow. Because I perceive that virtue, all you cats rubbing up against me got nothing. Preach about that in just a little bit. Hang on. Buckle your seatbelt. All you guys rubbing up around me got nothing because you haven't connected with me. You're close by. You're around. You're talking the talk. But somebody just connected with me because virtue has gone out of me. Jesus wasn't asking the question because he didn't know. Philip, I saw you under the tree. Huh? What? I know everything. I'm God in the flesh. I know who touched me. In fact, I created her. I formed her. It's no surprise what just happened. But the woman came, the Bible says, and confessed all. Now I want to preach. A girl named Faith. Because in this moment, Jesus said, daughter, go thy way.
Yes, yes, yes.
This woman of anonymity, this woman with no identity, becomes a daughter of the maker of the universe. You talk about a cataclysmic shift in your position. I'm an outcast of my society. My community wants nothing to do with me. My friends and family can't be around me. Nobody knows who I am. I appear in Scripture as a no one, as a nobody. And then in a moment of time, the creator of the universe, the one that is and was and is to come, the one that everything was created by him and for him, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, God in the flesh, the great I am, says, daughter, you're my girl. This is my daughter. She's no longer the outcast of society. She's no longer this unknown individual. She goes from being unknown. You're the daughter of the King of the universe. You're the daughter of the one that can. You're the daughter of the one. And her name is Faith, because faith is what moves God. Faith, it wasn't her condition that moved him. It wasn't that she pushed through that moved him. It was her faith that moved him. Daughter, she's the only one in the New Testament that Jesus called directly daughter. He mentions the daughters of Zion, but he calls her daughter. He called her daughter because she was exemplifying the characteristics of her father. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God operates in faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, maybe you feel today, I'm just an anonymous person. I'm just a nobody. I've been outcast by my family. I've been outcast by my coworkers. I'm an outcast by my friends. People don't want anything to do with me. Maybe this or that, whatever the reason or circumstance, there can be today. What a change, what a shift in your position to go from the unknown, to go from the anonymous person living in anonymity, to go from that to a child of the King. He can call you his daughter. The Bible uses the term son and daughter to describe the characteristics. Talks about being a son of God or being a child of the devil. Talks about the sons of Belial, children of wrath, the sons of thunder. It's the characteristics that you exude and display. Jesus said, daughter. Because he recognized in her faith. Oh, it's not your 12 years of spending that have provoked this. It's not all the doctors and stuff you've tried. It's not that you pushed through the crowd. It's not that you finally didn't care and you came to me. But wrapped up in all of that, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Jesus recognized that characteristic and he said, there's my girl, Faith. Faith in action. There she is. Jesus looked beyond her condition and he heard his little girl, Faith, crying out to him. And he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Every parent learns when your child is crying just to cry and when they actually need something. And you can hear them yelling and screaming and whatever. And then you know that was not the normal. That's what Jesus was saying. I heard that cry of faith, and it connected with me. It wasn't just the rubbing up against me. It wasn't just those that are around me. Jesus is in this house right now. Oh, Pastor, my condition is ugly. It is. I've done some bad things. You have. I'm unworthy. That's right. You're unworthy. I don't deserve this. You're right. You don't. I'm not the one that should be here. You're right. You shouldn't be. Neither should I. But that's the beauty. God says, that's what I want. Come to me, those that are hungry. Come to me, those that are thirsty. Stop putting your money in bags with holes. Stop putting your treasures where, look, come to me. I'm going to give you bread, and I'm going to give you some milk. I'm going to give you some honey. I'm going to give you some sustenance that is going to be free. You don't even have to pay for it. I'm going to pay the price for it. You're right. Your situation is ugly, and it's bad, and you don't deserve it. But Jesus said, that's exactly what I want, because you know that you need me. Don't let your circumstance or your situation deter you from coming to Jesus Christ this morning. Don't let your situation deter you from pressing through whatever's trying to hinder you. Some people are in the house today, and all you are is a spectator. You're not going to get anything, because the whole crowd was walking around Jesus. They were with him. He was on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus. They wanted to see the miracle. Oh, let's see what he's going to do. Let's all go see what's going to happen. Oh, let's go to church on Sunday. Let's see what this preacher can. Oh, he might be good. He might not be. Oh, he ain't that good, so let's wait till next Sunday. Oh, I like what he said. That doesn't matter. Well, let's go see what happens. Maybe somebody's going to get healed today. Or do you come with the attitude, I need a healing. I need a healing. I need salvation. I need restoration. I need the hand of God in my life. I didn't come, Brother Linder, I didn't come just to see what other people are going to get. I didn't come just to see who else was going to get blessed. I didn't come just to see what was going to happen. But I've come because I need God. I've come today because I need God to touch me. I need the hand of God to touch my life. Just being around God does not guarantee that you receive anything from God. Just being in a service does not guarantee that God's going to bless you. But God is saying, where's my girl Faith? You know, the only person he referred to as son was the paralytic they let down through the roof. Wow. Wow. That's my boy, Faith. That's my boy, Faith. Wow. they really wanted this. They couldn't get through. There's too many. They just couldn't get through. But boy, they wanted this. Yeah. That's my boy, Faith. And that's my girl, Faith. Jesus is looking for people to connect with him, not just be here. We all have conversations every day on a superficial level. Nothing wrong with that. It's just being nice to people. You talk to someone, or I'll ride in a cab. I'll talk to the cab driver, and some of it's pretty interesting, depending on how long the ride is. Some of it is just, how's the weather? Great. Some guys don't talk or say a word. Well, you know, it just, and you have those conversations. That's just superficial. Just be nice to people. Talk, have conversation. Especially in the South. New York, maybe another thing. I don't know. Just kidding. But it's just superficial conversation. God help us to never have that when we come to the house of God. Lord, we've done the three songs. We've done the hand clap. We've done the little praise thing. Okay, preacher's just about done. Lunchtime. Yeah, okay, we've punched the clock. It's kind of superficial. But I want to connect. Who connected with me today? Wow. Wow. There's my boy Faith. There's my girl Faith. There's my other Faith. There's Faith right there. You need something from God today? Lord, I want to connect with you. Jesus' name. The Lord is here today. I believe that we can see healing in this place. I believe we can see people receive the Holy Ghost today. I believe there can be miracles of provision today. I believe God can give an infusion today of peace in your life. Of hope in your life. The world is not where you get your hope from. The world is not where you get your peace from. It passes. It passes away. Governments, institutions, all the things of the world pass away. That's why the Lord said, lay treasures in heaven. Because thieves can't get to it there. It's out of their reach when you invest in the kingdom of God. And what I like to tell people, especially when you talk about, quote unquote, giving financially, you're not really giving, you're investing. You're investing. And there is a return on investment. And it's through souls. It's through reaching nations and people will never know, will never see. But we had a part in them coming to Jesus Christ. There are people right now around the world getting baptized in Jesus' name. There are people all around the world. When you're asleep tonight, this is what makes my job so interesting. When I'm asleep tonight, I'm going to get a bunch of emails from missionaries that are awake. I'm going to get a bunch of requests for requisitions for money. Now, I'm sleeping and they're awake. So it's going to pile up overnight. So when I get up in the morning, I have a load of work that's waiting on me. Then all the missionaries that are up when I'm up also send me emails and have requisitions and situations. So it's kind of a 24/7 thing that just never really stops. But what I like to view it as, just that just is what it is. That's just business in today's world. What I like to view it as, that's revival. Because when I'm asleep, they're having church somewhere. They're baptizing somebody in Jesus' name. They're in a river somewhere dunking somebody for the remission of their sins. They're in a village somewhere praying for somebody and blind eyes are being opened up. They're praying for somebody in a schoolyard somewhere and they're receiving the Holy Ghost. When we invest in the kingdom of God, then God gives us a return on that investment. And that return is in the form of souls. Thousands every year baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit of God Almighty. Praise God. There are things happening. I can't give you all of it right now, and some I can't share a whole lot about, but we are baptizing people where we're not supposed to be baptizing people. And Brother Linder knows some of this as well, but we have missionaries where you won't ever find them on the website. You won't. You just won't, for security reasons. But they're baptizing people in Jesus' name. In places where the world says there's no Christianity, there's Christianity. There's an apostolic church preaching Jesus' name where there's not supposed to be. Where the news says that it doesn't exist. We've got churches, we've got pastors, and we've baptized some imams in Jesus' name. Praise God. That is what our investment is doing. I just feel a tremendous, I felt earlier today Not a heaviness. That's not what I'm going to say. I'm not trying to say. I just felt just a power, like a concentrated power of faith earlier this morning. And almost a tangible. That's why I say it wasn't like a weight. It wasn't anything like that. But it was almost a tangible faith. It's in this place right now. And I want you to stand with me in Jesus' name. We're going to talk about faith promise in just a second. That's not going to take long. The Bible says that those that believe on his name have the power to become the sons of God. What is belief talking about? It's talking about faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe that he is. What does that mean? It's faith. That's the faith chapter. It's what it's talking about. Believing, having faith in God. Faith. Then we become his sons and his daughters. Jesus says, that's what I'm looking for right there. I'm not looking for your pretty clothes. I'm not looking for your big, long prayers. I'm not looking for your list of credentials. Lord, I'm pretty valuable to your kingdom. Look at all this. Faith. Now there, that's my boy right there, faith. That's my girl, faith, right there. If you need healing, if you need restoration, if you need salvation, if you need peace today, if you need hope today, there is a God. His name is Jesus. Don't want you to leave here confused. We know who he is. His word declares who he is. We don't skirt the issue. His name is Jesus. We sang about it. It's the name that you need. It's the name that can do the work. It's the name that can supply your need. Jesus is here today. Before we pray for those needs, we're talking about faith promise. I'm not going to kill the spirit, so some of you don't get worried about that. This is God's thing. And God is going to do a work in this place today. Faith, we'll talk about faith promise. And this church is a giving church. This church understands what faith promise is. And the three levels of faith are simply stewardship, sacrifice, and faith. Three levels of your giving to God. Stewardship is easy. That's the budgeting. Everybody can budget X amount. We can budget and live giving that. Sacrifice is when you begin to affect me. All right, I'm going to do without so that I can invest in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, I won't give details. It's caused me some issues. Humorous to me, but I gave something to the Lord. I just felt like that God absolutely said, do it. And anything I have, if God says he wants it, it's his. There is no questions. It's a thing. It's a possession. It's gone. I didn't sell it. God said, give it. And I did. God has, and I didn't give it thinking anything except God said, give it. And it's something that meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me. But God has miraculously, like mind-blowing miraculously, and I've seen God do a lot of things, has mind-blowing miraculously said, you know what? Watch what I can do. And I just it has left me almost speechless. And I don't want to just say, you know, sacrifice is not anything, because sacrifice does matter. Sacrifice does matter. Especially when we talk about investing in God's kingdom. What can I do without? Maybe maybe our family vacation is not 5 days, maybe it's four. So the fifth day's expense, we're going to put that toward faith promise. Maybe instead of this, I'm going to ratchet back a little bit, and I don't quite need that, and I'm going to... That's when we talk about sacrifice. What can I do without? What can I give up? What can I sacrifice? Maybe I'll take my lunch to work instead of going out for lunch, and I give that what I would have spent to faith promise. Because what faith promise does, those funds come to the local church. And from faith promise, your church has a pool of resources to sponsor your global missionaries. There's your resources to pay the partners in missions support. There's your resources if a missionary comes by and the church says, we want to give them $3,000, you have it here. No need to take a special offering. Faith promise allows, you've got a pool of resources here. You can sponsor North American missions through faith promise. You can help your local daughter church endeavors through faith promise. It simply creates a pool for the local church. If you want to reach souls, global missions, North American missions, your local endeavors, you've got the resources to do it with. That's what faith promise does. For a large number of churches, most of their faith promise is committed to global missions. And that's okay. That's all right. But that's not just what it's for. It has to go to global missions. This is a pool of resources for the local church to be able to reach out to your community and the world. And the last level of giving investment is that of faith. Your pastor mentioned it a little earlier, and that's simply, Lord, I can do this much, and I can sacrifice this much, but the rest is up to you. You know, my family, we can budget $50 a month, and we can sacrifice an additional 20, so we can do 70. But Lord, there's no way we can do 85. We don't have that extra. We don't have it. It's just not there anywhere. But Lord, we're going to commit 85. And we're going to believe you to somehow provide the extra that is giving through faith. And when we do, get ready for God to just do some amazing things and provide some things that you're going to, wow. I'll never forget, I was doing a faith promise in a church, and a young 9-10-year-old boy, I don't know, came up after service and said, here's $20. He said, God blessed me through faith promise, and I have to give it before I spend it. So I gave it to the pastor because it doesn't come to me. But I have to give it before I spend it. And that's I'm glad he learned that principle young, because I know some adults that spend it. Oops. I know, Lord, you provided. Sorry, maybe next time we'll catch it. When God provides it, we give it to faith promise. And we are a part of all the reports that you hear on global missions. You get the website and you do the videos, all those things, you're a part of that. But I've never been there, but you're a part of it. I can't go, but you're a part of it. I don't even know how to speak their language, but you're a part of it. We preached in Zimbabwe few years back, and their language, the translators, the language is Holy Ghost is a, it's a word. They talk with clicks, and it was interesting. We had many get the Holy Ghost. Never been to Zimbabwe, but I've been a part of Zimbabwe for years, and you're a part of God's kingdom all around the world. When you invest in faith promise, because you're investing in souls, you're investing in people that need God. Excuse me. I want to read a verse of scripture in closing. And we read it to start today. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I do know individuals, I do know people that they struggle financially. And it's just a constant. And I'm not saying I know everybody's circumstance, because I obviously don't. But I have watched some people. And the reality is, Brother Linder, God can't trust them. Because if he gives them anything, they spend it on stuff they probably shouldn't. And God says, you know what, I just can't trust that. But I also know other people that, and they don't have a lot of money, but they don't struggle financially. I'm going to invest in the kingdom of God. We're going to invest in this. And we don't have a lot, but we're going to sell this maybe. We're going to invest in the kingdom of God. And they've seen God do the miraculous in their lives. So today, I want us to do a couple of things. If you have your faith promise card, I think I left mine down there, but it's the blue card, faith promise. You can tear that in half, and one of that is where you put your name and your amount. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And when you put your amount, and you can do the worksheet of stewardship and sacrifice and faith, and put your amount there, put your amount as a family. Every young person should have a faith promise card. Well, I'm 12. I don't have any money. 12-year-olds have more money than 20-year-olds. Because they don't have any bills, but they get money from grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, birthday, Christmas. Praise God. Everyone should have a faith promise card. On your worksheet, you put your name and what you're going to do monthly to Faith Promise. You don't have to put your address and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure the church knows where you live. But what I want us to do is we're going to pray. And when we pray, I want you to ask the Lord. Maybe you've already felt from God what you're going to do, but I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have us to invest in your kingdom? Because it's all about souls. It's all about reaching the world. It's not about anything else. The church exists to reach the world. And once you have your amount written, then I want you to bring it and put it in this basket up here. You can turn it face down. This is not for other people to know. That's not what this is about. You can turn it face down. And in the midst of that, we're going to pray. Because this is exercising faith. This is what God is wanting to see. This is what God is wanting to do today. Listen to me. If you're in this place and you need a healing in your body, or someone in your family needs a healing and they're not here and you want to stand in for them, in just a moment, when we bring the cards, I want you to come to this side. I want you to make your way to the front. People are going to gather around and pray with you. People of faith. And we're not just going to touch God today. We're going to connect with God today. And I want you to tell them, if you can, if it's private, I understand. But if you can tell the person praying with you, tell them what your need is. And they're going to pray for you and be specific. I believe God is going to heal in this place. If you need provision, if you need God to supply a need today, could be financial, any type of, you need God to supply a need. Maybe you need to receive the Holy Spirit today. You've never received God's Spirit, never been born again. You can do that this morning. God will fill you with his presence. And you'll have that evidence of speaking with new tongues. That's not you and it's not me. I'm not teaching you something. But it's the Spirit of God taking complete control of this vessel. So if you need provision, you need God to provide today. If you need salvation, God's Spirit. When we pray and when we bring our cards, I want you to make your way to this side. And again, you will have people in the church that will pray with you. I want young people praying. I want saints, elder saints, young couple. I want everybody praying for those that have needs today. I know you will. Just want you to know that's my expectation. And I know this church will. And we're going to pray and we're going to see God do some things. And our faith promise commitment is going to be miraculous. And what God is going to do is going to be miraculous. Because we're not just around God today. We're not just walking around and touching him and seeing what's taking place. But we are connecting with the heart of God. And God is, he's saying, "Ooh, there's faith. There's my girl faith. There's my boy faith." Whew. And virtue is flowing right now. Bow your heads with me if you would. Lord Jesus, we love you. We are so privileged and so thankful. Lord, you're good to us. You are so kind to us. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for hearing us today. Thank you for responding to your people. Lord, I believe and I know that you're going to touch us. I know, God, that you're going to heal today and do the miraculous. I know, Lord, that you're going to provide our faith promise. I know you're going to help us to give by faith. I know you're going to help us, Lord, to reach beyond what we've ever done, to invest in your kingdom in this end time, to invest in souls around the world. Lord, we know that your soon coming is upon us. God, we want to reach as many as we can with your gospel. We want to see as many saved and redeemed from this world as possible. Help us, Lord, to be a greater part of that than ever before. Lord, any unbelief, I speak against it right now. Any doubt, I cast it out in Jesus' name. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us, God, increase our faith. Help us today, Lord, to connect with you and to receive from you in this moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you have your amounts, I want you to write those down. Our musicians are going to lead us in some worship. And I want you to bring your cards to this basket. And if you're a guest or whatever, that's fine. You don't have to do this. This is not for you. This is for our church people here. But if you need healing in your body of any type, or you're going to stand in for someone in your family, whether you're from this church or visiting or not, we want to pray for you. Right now, I want you to make your way to the front on this side. Anybody that needs healing in their body, I want you to come. If you have your cards, begin to bring those, and then you find a place to pray up here and find somebody to pray with. And if you need provision in your life, or if you need to receive the Spirit of God, if you need to repent of your sins, I want you to make your way to this side. You're going to have people praying for you. You're going to have people praying with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.